I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Today is the first anniversary of our program's debut over the air. That and the ongoing controversy over the Reverend Jeremiah Wright has actually gotten us thinking about the bigger question of who gets to tell what stories. Now, here at Tell Me More, showcasing diverse voices, reaching out to a diverse audience, has been a part of our mission from the beginning. And, you know, we like to pride ourselves in attempting to achieve that goal, but we have to admit it's a challenge. So we wanted to talk about how we're meeting that challenge, as well as how other media organizations are doing it, and frankly, whether or not it's worth it. Joining us to talk about this is Loretta Rucker, the executive director of the African American Public Radio Consortium. That's one of the sponsors of this program. Richard Prince is author of Journalisms. It's an online column about diversity issues in the news business. And Mark Fisher is a Washington Post columnist who reports on the media with a particular focus on radio. They were all kind enough to join me in our Washington, D.C. studios. Welcome to you all. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Loretta, why did the African American Public Radio Consortium want to create a program like this?
Michelle, the African American stations came into public broadcasting, I would say, en masse in the mid-80s. But the system had already been underway for a good 15 years. And so we had an environment where quality programs, but not a lot of information, national programs that really related to their audience. And so it became a matter of urgency for them to serve their listeners, to partner with NPR to create Tell Me More, News and Notes, and a couple of others before that.
Now, Mark, you came to observe the production of this program for The Post. You wrote a piece about it. You know, this is, of course, public broadcasting. But do you think, is the diversity idea a market idea, or has that become a sort of a market imperative, or has that become kind of a core principle of the news business?
Well, you know, it's both. It's really necessary to reach out to an audience and bring audiences together. You know, radio, it's interesting that this segment comes right after a segment about the church, because the church and radio are probably the two most segregated parts of our society. They're the places where it's still okay to have places that are just separated by race. Radio is one of the few industries where you talk about black stations and white stations. Well, you couldn't do that in most parts of our society. And so what public radio has tried to do here with this show is to say, here we are in trying to reach the entire public radio audience and to try to bring African Americans and other minorities into that public radio audience where they really have been lacking for most of its history.
Richard, you wrote in your April 13th journalism's column, based on numbers from the American Society of Newspaper Editors, that this whole issue of kind of keeping journalists of color sort of part of the market has actually proven, you know, perhaps more difficult than a lot of people would have thought that it would be. You mentioned that, for example, there were an estimated 2,400 journalists left newsrooms in 2007 through a combination of buyouts and layoffs. Nearly 300 of them were journalists of color. What effect do you think this has had on this sort of goal of diversifying the media?
Well, it's having a negative effect. I think one of the harshest effects has been the loss of institutional memory. We've been having a lot of anniversary stories recently, the 40th anniversary of the Martin Luther King assassination and the riots that followed, for example. The whole Reverend Wright thing about black theology, how that came to be. It would help to have people on these staffs who understood the history, where this all comes from, and not just plop down in the middle of this in 2008. And I think that's one of the problems that you have with the loss of people on staffs of news organizations of color. Mm-hmm. And while it's nice to have young people and fresh blood, you need that perspective.
You know, Mark mentioned that this has been a year in which we've had a lot of issues that touch on race in the news. I mean, there was the Don Imus controversy. Mm-hmm. You wrote about that. The immigration issue certainly touches on, you know, ethnicity. Certainly the Obama campaign has brought a lot of things up. In general, do you have a sense of how well the media covers these issues? I know you get a lot of feedback from the public about these issues. What do they generally say?
Well, people are dissatisfied with the focus in the campaign, for example, on just the whole discussion of Reverend Wright we just had. I think that, you shed light on the subject with your previous discussion. That's great. But there's a lot of frustration among black journalists that this has become an issue that, for example, I was there in the church the other day. I'm sorry, the press club the other day. Most of the speech was not about AIDS. It was not about Farrakhan. It was not about the things that could boil down into these sound bites. That's a frustration. There was no examination about whether anything that that where these ideas of Reverend Wright comes from. When he says, for example, that 9-1-1 is a case of the chickens coming home to roost, how is that really so different from what everyone was saying after 9-1-1? Why do they hate us? Who's making that connection? Who's explaining that?
If I could just jump in.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Perspective, and subtext. Take, for example, the Michelle Obama kind of gaffe with Pride in America. Now, as an African-American, I was thinking, okay, probably her grandfather grew up in the South where he could not vote. Fast forward, and she has a husband who could become president. That's got to be a moment. Clearly, the words may have been clumsy, but I certainly understood. And that's what I think having, you know, some type of cultural understanding brings to a moment. And it's missing oftentimes. And I just want to say, Michelle, that while the mainstream media is really bringing in a lot more pundits, which is a good thing, there's also the question of who sets the table, who decides the topics, who decides the guests. And I remember when you and I first spoke about this show, you said, I don't want to ride in a shotgun anymore. I want to drive the car.
That's true. That is true. Mark, you were going to say something.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to think that the media are not, even though they loom large in our minds, media really are a lagging indicator in society. And as we've seen with the Obama campaign, yes, there are moments like this Reverend Wright thing, and the media go nuts with it, and the media are really reaching back to an old kind of storytelling, an old notion of what this story is. The public, for the most part, has moved beyond that. And you see this, there really has been very little resonance in the polls from this whole Obama-Wright thing, and that's because for the same reason that people have embraced that candidacy and for the same reason that your show is different from previous attempts to bring minority audiences into public radio. There's this wonderful line that's posted on the board in the newsroom of this show that says to all the producers, what story, event, or idea will be compelling to all Americans?
Right.
And that is very much like the message that Obama burst onto the scene with. And that's the kind of message that I think is going to work in the media going forward rather than the kind of what parallel alternate path can we be on.
Well, you know, I wanted to speak about that, though. I want to play a clip of like a short montage of some of the coverage of the Obama Reverend Wright controversy. Let's play it for just a minute.
I agree that Reverend Wright should have defended himself, defended his church. But the question is not, do you speak? It's a matter of when you speak and how you speak.
You've got to call it narcissistic performance today and last night, talking about Ebonics and black and white pronunciations. We're all past that.
Obama gave a magnificent dissertation on the issue of race and that it was our responsibility to follow up, and the media decided to go the low road.
So let's do the math here. If you criticize Wright, you criticize black churchgoers. Therefore, you're a racist. How despicable is that?
So you just heard Roland Martin, Chris Matthews, Joe Madison, and Bill O'Reilly. And let's set aside the fact that they're all men, which is something, you know, we could also talk about gender, but we'll stick to race and ethnicity just for today. It's almost like they're living in a parallel universe. Now, Mark, you made the point that, you know, it's almost like radio particularly is a segregated universe. The question I have is that what people want? Do they want to just live in parallel universes, at least for that part of their day?
Well, I think to some extent they do, but to some extent the media in the past have not really given them a whole lot of choice in that. And so it's interesting to look at some of the experiments such as this program that say, well, you know, maybe people want to hear what each other's worlds are like and maybe even be part of those worlds. And, you know, there is something voyeuristic about media and talk shows. And so, you know, a white guy like me will listen to a Joe Madison and pretend that I'm getting some insight into another world. And so vice versa, that happens all the time. And there's some use to that. But I think as a society, we're starting to branch out and to say, you know what, there are ways that we can speak to everyone. And maybe that can exist as well. And that really has not been part of our media landscape before.
Loretta, what do you think about that?
Michelle, I've thought about this a lot on the way in. And we're not talking about the hate radio. We're actually talking about having programs where people get a chance to actually listen to other perspectives and start a conversation. I think that's the cutting edge. I think that's what this show is trying to do. I think that's what Barack Obama is talking about and others. I think that's where we're headed.
Mark, I want to pick up this. Richard, I want to hear from you on this also. But Mark, you, in your other life, I don't know when you have time to do this, but in the other part of your life, you write about local issues for The Washington Post as a columnist. You often write about the way issues of ethnicity and race play out in sort of political issues. Do you feel that you can really get to truth by yourself, though, as a single media actor? And the reason I tell you I struggle with this as a person of color, oftentimes people will say, well, you're black, so therefore you must think X. And I want to say, well, no, that's, you know, but yeah, but I speak English and therefore I can understand what you're trying to say. But how do you experience that?
I think if you're human and you listen well and you willingly enter other people's lives, the amazing experience of being a reporter, that many people who are not reporters don't really understand until you do it, is that people really want to tell their stories. And they don't especially care who you are if you're willing to listen to them. And in fact, I find that when you go into a situation and a community that's different from your own, you get a better story. And that's why a lot of white reporters and black reporters don't like to be pigeonholed, and you don't like to be assigned to go cover your community, because you don't see that place in a fresh way. And so I find it's the essence of foreign correspondence. You go to a foreign place because you're going to see it with a fresh eye, and people are going to want to tell you their story and explain themselves. And that's how you get a truth.
I just want to point out, we're not throwing things at each other in here. We just dropped a little bit of a bottle of water. That's all very nice and civil in the studio here. If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're celebrating our first anniversary on the air, and I'm speaking with Loretta Rucker, Richard Prince, and Mark Fisher about the issue of diversity in media. Richard, your column is very interesting because you cover all ethnic groups. Yes. I mean, you cover issues of African-Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, Asian Americans, not sure who else is left, but are you ever criticized for not giving one or more group their due? Is there any way that you have to particularly work affirmatively to make sure that you are covering everybody the same way, or do you even try to cover? Is it like having kids? You can't possibly love them all the same. You love them the same, but you love them differently.
I think that fortunately, I have not had the problem of people complaining that that they're being left out. People want to get in, which is good, and I welcome contributions. And I think that just like this show provides a marvelous common ground where people can come together, and it's not on anyone's particular turf. I think that column does the same for a lot of people, which is good. I just wanted to say one more thing about the about this issue of the terrorism and Reverend Wright and all that. And that is, shows like this can elevate the dialogue and mm-hmm. connect the dots in ways that you know, others are not. And in the terrorism thing, for example, when Reverend Wright says that the chicken's coming home, it's a perfect example to talk about, well, what actually is happening with terrorism these days. I went to a briefing by some State Department officials, and they said that, you know, the war on terror is only the top 15% of the war on terror is being covered. The bombs exploding and the military action, but we're doing a lot of things on the ground with madrasas and winning hearts and minds, funding schools, eliminating areas of the world where there's no government, and so terrorism can get a foothold. So the question is, all this is going on, nobody's covering it. We have the issue of Reverend Wright raising terrorism now. What are the candidates' positions about what's going on with terrorism and what can be done? That's the value of a show like this.
And I'm a little scared to ask this, but yes. I do want to ask, you know, what could we be doing better? And I'd like to know what could we be doing better. And I'd also like to ask if we are getting to a sense of best practices. Are there any best practices that we and others could be employing in covering these issues, Loretta?
Michelle, I know that one of your goals is to have difficult conversations, a safe place to have difficult conversations. And I think you do that well. I think that this could be a place where there could be even more in terms of even parties where there could be potential contentiousness. But given the space and the environment and the spirit of this program, I think, you know, shows like this can actually help to heal the society that we live in. So I think taking more and more risks in terms of those difficult conversations.
Mark?
And on top of that, I think it's important, in given the times and given the stresses that the news industry is going through, to emphasize reporting even more, because discussion is great, but we live in a world that is saturated with discussion these days, and what we're really losing is reporting, and that's what this show often does very well, but I would argue needs to do more, because we're seeing so many cutbacks in so many major news organizations and minor ones across the country that we really are in jeopardy of losing the news-gathering apparatus of the society, and NPR is one of the few places where that's not really happening, where there's not being having cutbacks, and it kind of puts more of an onus on you.
So what you're saying is it's fine to have analysts, and analysts are great, but you need reporters out on the street kind of telling you what's happening right now.
Give us that first-hand, first shot at the facts, and then we can discuss it later.
Interesting. Richard, final thought?
What can give you me do more. About? Just give me more.
A
I love it.
Hour?
Just give us more. Yeah. Let's give us more of what you're doing.
Michelle, I also just want to add, you know, it takes more than a village. It takes an initiative to have programs like this. I mean, it takes a conscious awareness to say, you know, we're going to break the mold. Because there are pipelines for existing, you know, media entities. You have to go ahead and say it's time to create something new.
Mm, all right. Well, I'm going to take it all to heart. Loretta Rucker is Executive Director of the African American Public Radio Consortium, which is one of the sponsors of Tell Me More. Richard Prince is the author of Journalisms. It's an online column about diversity issues in the news business. And Mark Fisher is a Washington Post columnist who covers the media, especially radio. They were all kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios for our first year anniversary program. I thank you all so much for speaking with us and for the tough love.
And tell your friends in other cities to get Tell Me More.
And we are so proud of this program.
Just ahead, I understand we have a surprise guest coming up for our first anniversary program. Now, I don't like surprises, but we'll see how it goes. I'm Michelle Martin. You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News.